The following podcast is an Embassy Row production.
Small ball in the building. And sports, comedy. Ah, Dean Edward. Deanie, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad.
Yes, Dean, I wanted you on the show so bad because, first of all, I know you know sports. You know a lot of things.
Sports.
I know you're a New Yorker. I know you love the Knicks. So I just want to
unfortunately,
being on, going through this pandemic without sports around, without that glue that holds society together.
Right.
So, you grew up in New York, right?
Bronx and Mount Vernon, yeah.
Mount Vernon, yeah, that's New York, right?
Yeah.
When, so you play basketball or baseball or football?
So then the moving began.
So y'all moved up. So after Westchester, where you moved to?
Yeah. So we lived in Poughkeepsie for a year. We lived in, after Mount Vernon, we moved further up in Westchester, in a place called Yorktown Heights. And I did middle school and a year of high school there. And then we moved to Poughkeepsie for a year. And Poughkeepsie's when I first got the itch for playing ball, mainly because there was fewer and fewer things for me to do, you know.
Yeah, I can dig it.
And then by the time we made it to Batavia, because Batavia's far. Batavia's between Rochester and Buffalo. And bro, my pops got transferred to Attica. He was working. You got to clarify.
That's right. You got to have to look for that.
They're like, wow, they supported him even in prison. No, so he got transferred to Attica, got promoted, and we were up in Batavia. So I had nothing else to do. And I was a big letdown because they were like, yo, we got this black kid from New York City. And I ain't never played a lick of ball.
And how tall were you then when you got there?
So it was bad. It was rough. Yo, by the time we were up in Batavia, I had to be, I'm 6'4 now. So I was probably like 5'10, 5'11. I was a big dude. I was one of the
tallest. What grade was this? Is ninth grade now?
This was not. This was 11th. This was 11th. Oh. I went to 3 high schools.
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Now, you went to 3 different high schools. Now, any of those teams, any of those schools had good teams, like basketball team, football team? Because it's more like a football situation too, right?
I didn't play because, this is funny, as far as football, when we moved to Yorktown, my best friend Darren, he played football. And so I was like, oh, well, I guess that's what people do. I'll play football. But there was no passion. So I went to the first practice. And when they started doing those laps, son left me. So I was behind everybody. And I was like, I went to one practice. I was like, nah, I won't watch TV.
It was just too much working out for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So football, I don't watch football.
Really? Now, I'm sure you know about the Kaepernick.
I don't know what's going on with the
I know the Kaepernick situation, you do know that, and taking a knee and a Black Lives Matter.
Of course, of course.
So do you think the NFL once they do come back?
Because I have to.
Yeah. Right now the Premier League is back. And before every match, everybody on every team takes a knee.
Okay.
All of them have to take a knee, then come back up, then they play the game.
Okay. So acknowledgement, that's a good start to the convo.
Do you think the NFL might follow that lead? Because I don't think so. But why? Why do you think it's different there and here? Like, what's the pushback?
The pushback is the commander in chief, called players sons of bitches for exercising their constitutional right. And here's what's funny, because I was in the Army. I was in the Army for 6 years, man. And I remember when Kaepernick first started taking a knee, and as comics, we travel a lot. And I remember talking about it on stage, and I remember saying, why are people angry?
Right? Yes, I was shocked by it at first. And I was like, oh shit, it's white people, and they don't like us doing anything that expresses our shit.
Hold up, and more specifically, it was a Marine, it was a former player that was a Marine, that said to him, hey man, you know what, sitting down comes off disrespectfully. If you take a knee, it's a silent way of not, it shows that you're not against the country. You're just, you want to draw attention.
You're remembering your fallen comrades.
Right. And the fact that that became convoluted and turned into this, if you kneel, you're anti-flag and you're anti-American. And for me, it made me call out the hypocrisy. I was doing these things on social media where I was doing this Denzel Washington thing. And on the 4th of July, like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I just happened to be in a Walmart around that time.
Yeah.
And so I just recorded because everyone was so serious about, well, it's, you know, this is disrespectful to the flag. So I went and pointed out numerous violations of the flag code. When you see people with sunglasses that have the Old Glory on the flag, those boxers with the flags on it, bandanas, all of that. If you wanna hold contempt for Kaepernick for taking a knee, then you have to have contempt for your picnic table cover that is the flag while you're spilling your barbecue onto, you know.
Yeah, any version so that's, of the flag is supposed to be disrespectful.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to take your flag down at night, every night, fold it up, don't let it touch the ground, and then put it all up in the morning. Not leaving out overnight. Or leaving out overnight is disrespect.
Exactly.
I was an Eagle Scout, so I have to use some of my Eagle learnings.
Right.
But it's all disrespectful. So you think it's just because it's black faces associated with this that it got so many people on a disturbed?
I think because it's black faces and it became polarized because also I was going to say in this country, but I think generally speaking, people have this, but specifically in this country, people have this belief that if you're black, and really not even just black, if you are of color and you achieve a certain level of success, specifically in sports and entertainment, somehow your voice should become muted because you made it. And so therefore, whatever issues out in the street that are happening to other people that look like you, it's not your concern, and you should just be grateful, you know. And so the whole shut up and the dribble. Shut up and dribble.
W on Fox News, what's the name?
Yeah, I
just compare that building all the time too.
Right. When you do red eye, but dude, to me that is such a slight and slap in the face because on the one hand, if you first of all, taking any athlete that makes it to the professional level.
Yeah.
That's not a fluke. That wasn't just given to them. That's hard work. That's working. That's waking up early. That's your family committing to this dream where they're waking up, bringing you to, early morning football and baseball and basketball and track practices when you're in elementary school, junior high school. This is a 10-year dream, 10-plus-year dream that an entire community of people are working, helping you work towards, so you achieve that dream, and then somehow someone's saying, well, you know what, this doesn't affect you. It does affect me because the community that helped me get there is still at odds, and more than that, I now am an athlete that might be of a certain means now, and so I'm driving a different car, I'm in different neighborhoods that I wasn't in before. Yeah. Yep. Now I have the spotlight on me more.
Yeah.
I just saw Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
Saw him on, might have been the Today Show, and he said his eyes, his perspective has changed now. He said, for years I didn't address it, but he's like, I've always gotten pulled over because I'm driving a nice car in nice neighborhoods, and then people say, well, your light was out. He's like, no, it wasn't. He said, you know, previously he didn't speak about it, but now he finds himself being more vocal. And people have been low.
They got him on the side of the road. Meanwhile, the Blowfish is doing buck 90 right past the cops. They ain't never pulled over the Blowfish, nigga. Hootie always
Blowfish was, yeah, it was Hootie.
The Blowfish is blown by the cops. Blowfish is. Like the NBA starting up in Florida. They trying to block off.
In the bubble. In the bubble.
What is that about? I see Kyrie Irving. I'm not all, usually on Kyrie's side because he thinks the earth is flat. Right. But when he says he don't feel comfortable down there, plus, plus he don't want to distract from Black Lives Matter movement. So I think that's a legitimate argument. What do you think?
I'm going to have to agree with Kyrie and Kawhi, you know, that,
what
that
does
is
Kawhi
like,
say?
Kawhi isn't saying much, man, but I saw something this morning that said, someone posted a picture of him and said, why do I feel that once Kawhi retires, we're never going to hear or see him again?
He's going to be like the other dude from Bill and Ted, the movie. We all see him. It's like, where's another dude? Where's Ted?
Anyone out there that sees this, keep in mind that in every duo, you have George Michael and that other dude.
The other dude. It's like that make dude sure. who used to host American Idol with Ryan Seacrest. Where's that?
Brian Dunkelman.
Dunkelman. Dunkelman became a thing.
I remember him because he was a stand-up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was a stand-up, and from what I understand, and I could be wrong, he wanted more money, and I think what he should have done, always write out the new joint. Get like three, four seasons to where the people lock in.
Yeah.
He'd do it after a year.
Yeah, what a foolish move.
And it wasn't even a year. Like, the first season, it was in comparison to the rest of the seasons, it was a summer or a winter break special. Yeah, man, yeah. It was a bad idea. So anyway, back to
Kyrie.
Back to Kyrie. I agree, man. It's a distraction.
Westbrook just tested positive, by the way.
Wow.
A day ago.
Wow.
I mean, how can you really ask these guys to put their lives, their family lives, in jeopardy, going into the state? This is the worst state right now.
Yeah, that is the hot spot of the world.
Yes.
Not just of the country, of the world.
So how do you even justify sending those guys down there? Like, even the NHL. The NHL doing all their shit in Canada. Because
Canada,
they don't trust nothing going on in America.
Right, man. Canada's
already, shit is dropping. So they're doing the NHL going there. It's like, that's the best bet, right?
Right. I agree. Like, the way we've handled, this whole quarantine, you know, generally speaking as a whole, as a country, it's embarrassing. It's, you know, especially when you have... people in other, I have friends in the Middle East. The promo, Godfrey and I were supposed to go do 2 weeks in the Middle East, in Saudi and Bahrain and Kuwait, right as this all started. And the promoters have been, just saying, hey, we're going to make it there just once everything subsides. But every couple weeks, they're like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, people talk to you. You know how they talk to all of them now? All of Americans, white Americans included, now know how black people feel when someone black was getting arrested on the news, and everyone white at work turns like, hey, what's going on with, what's up with your man? I'm like, I don't know him. That's how we feel generally as Americans now, man. It's like the rest of the world's looking like, what the hell, man? Just wear the mask.
Yeah, and so, freedom will kill us. We got too much freedom. Now, people think that's freedom. Everything is in freedom.
Right,
and people don't believe in science, too, Dean.
Right. Coming from the top down, son.
Yes.
Coming from the top down. Because, listen, we've all seen the posts and the links to the conspiracy theories and whatnot. And I remember when people first were saying, black people, what it is? Black people have melanin, and so it's not gonna affect black people. And then the numbers spiked I was like, y'all fell for the banana in the tailpipe on that one, didn't you?
We definitely got some of the worst results of this because we already started off with the worst healthcare in this country. So if you ain't got access to something, you're going to suffer when something that kicks off. So this pandemic has exposed that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, it has.
It's always been a problem.
How have you been dealing? Have you been out and about? Have you been pretty much in the crib?
I was in Connecticut for about 13, 14
months. Right, right. So that.
And then, so I got back into New York like maybe almost a week ago.
Okay, okay.
It's weird here. It's like I see most people wear masks though. I give them that. Most people got masks on, but you still see
now.
Like bars and stuff with the masks
on. Yeah, now the first, we were holed up, man. We were for that, I remember the last time I saw you was right when the seller implemented, they had a bucket full of microphones. Right.
A bucket of mics.
But I appreciate they were attempting to do something to keep us healthy. And then the next morning.
Mics sometimes smell funny. I remember Kerry Caravas used to Windex the mic. Like the smell. She said after Bobby Kelly got off, it smelled like salami. The mic smelled like fucking $5 worth of salami.
Yeah, that's funny, son. But after that, I went the next day to West Palm. I had a weekend in West Palm, and then I was supposed to, because I think Marlon Wayans had canceled, so they were like, "You want to lie down?" That would have been like March 12th. It would have been March 12th, right before they shut things down. I remember Val at the Cellar said, "You sure you want to do that? Because they're saying that they might close the city." But, you know, brother chasing that check.
And you got to get that bag, baby. Got to chase that bag.
And also the mic, you know, and especially having lost other work. So I was like, I'll go and I'll just, you know, chill in the crib. And then on Sunday while I was down there in the hotel, my agent calls and he's like, "Yo, you know what? They want to know if you'd stay in Florida for the week and do Miami the following weekend." So I was like,
"What?"
I was like, "All right."
They were like, "This was early on in it, so
we didn't know. We didn't know." So
a couple shows before if it does post that, we don't know.
Exactly. And in my mind, I was like, "Yo, you know what? I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna take my phone and I'm gonna shoot my weekend, all my shows in Miami. That way, I have something that I can post and also possibly sell."
Right.
Once this all hits. But then Tuesday afternoon, the governor of Florida was like, "Nah, we got to shut everything down." So I was back home Wednesday, and I was home.
And then had to fly right back?
I flew out for West Palm, and then they sent a car to bring me to Miami and put me up in the Intercontinental, and then I stayed there for a couple of days. And then I came home on Wednesday. Once they shut things down Tuesday, I was like, "All right, well, I'm gonna go home." And Delta was cool. They were like, "Oh, we understand." They got me, you know, got me on the next flight out next morning.
Now, would you go to Florida today? Like, would you go to Florida right now?
Nah.
Well, how do these employees? How do they feel like? How they making these dudes do?
Yeah, I'm not pressed, D. I'm not pressed right now. Because you know what? I don't think. Now, for instance, like with DL, when DL was diagnosed a couple weeks ago, right?
On stage?
Yeah. I don't think that was COVID.
I think it's just COVID. Old-ass DL. Legs gave out.
I think what happened, and this is speculative, but, you know, I know comics drink and get used to, like I bring Harris on the road all the time, right? And Harris can go, right?
Yeah.
But none of us have.
Because he's a baseball player at heart.
Right.
Baseball dreams. He was nice in college.
Yes.
That boy was nice.
Yeah, man. He got drafted. He got drafted. I always tell him, like, "Hey, man, say what people want. You got drafted by Chicago. That's a big team."
That's crazy.
Word. So, but that fastball ruined dreams. That fastball breaking dreams. Were you sitting there?
That high heat, baby.
You like, throw the ball. They like, we did.
Oh.
Don't be mad. UPS is hiring. Right. So yeah. So when I was watching the video, the night it happened, actually, and he went on stage, as soon as he got on stage and he sat down, because right. I've seen DL.
Right.
I was like, why is he sitting down? And then immediately I said, he ain't been out on the road for 3 months. So unless he's sitting in his crib binge drinking, he's drinking more than he's been his tolerance is used to.
Right.
So you figure he drank before the first show, during the first show, after in between, and then the second show, man, that's a lot. And you know, it hit him. But nobody's to say that he got COVID because he flew to Nashville. He might have gotten COVID at the farmer's market, wherever he lives.
Yeah, the chances are he got it before he got there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just the math on it.
Yeah. So when people like, because a lot of people like, say, tried getting, I'm like, I had nothing to do with him.
But if you were like an athlete, you had a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, NHL coming back.
Right.
You're going to Canada, but baseball's coming back.
Right.
I mean, you already don't get to see your family. So now, if you're an athlete and you do have little pockets of time to see your fam come out on the road to meet you, you can't even do that.
Right, right.
14 days between all that shit.
Right, right. And, you know, to me, athletes have a different situation where if like you said, with the NHL, them playing in Canada, A, makes sense because, well, that's kind of the mecca of where they make hockey players, right?
But it's also safer.
That's the main thing. It's a lot safer because people in Canada have all said, this is what we need to do, eh? Let's do it. And people are complying. And the numbers aren't where they are over here in the States, man. So it's safer. It's a safer bet. And it's also safer because if someone does have it, they have a better way of tracking where someone got it because the numbers are so low there comparatively to here in the States.
I would think, like, if you're any athlete, even tennis players who play in Florida all the time, you would avoid the shit out of Florida.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, do it someplace. No, go to Utah or, you know, South Dakota.
I say upstate New York is safer right now.
Buffalo.
The Mets and the Yankees moved both their farm teams up from Florida to New York this year.
That was a smart move. Yeah, upstate.
The NBA send the motherfuckers to Florida.
Yeah, they going into the belly of the beast.
What is that? I mean, you would think it'd be more pushback from LeBron and all these
right.
Big, you would think it'd be
right.
More pushback than that.
And they really need they need a LeBron to step up. They need the bigger names because, you know, you 11th man on the team or you're a journeyman that's yeah. On your, like, 11th season. You're on your fourth or fifth team playing in the league. You don't really have say, you know. Yeah. You know, you try to step up and the owner's like, now you know we ain't listening to you. It's like, all right.
Unless you like a fucking like a union official, like one of those player reps.
Right, right.
You know, other than that, money, if you ain't got no big name, they're not listening to you. They trying to chase that dialogue. I say no. Yeah. The athletes are just like comedians. We would go into any such circumstances if we can get some stage. Most of them, you can
right.
See this. You see, motherfucker, like a comedy right now seems like it's turning into wrestling because everybody's doing it in the backyard.
Right, right, right. Have you done any of those?
I did none of them. I did not. No shows in person since everything shut down.
Yeah, I couple people have asked me. I know Harris did one last week. Eastfield did something in Brooklyn in like a backyard, and they had asked me, but I was like, nah, I'm good, man. Yeah.
I've been waiting. Outdoor stuff in Ohio, but he set up a whole thing.
Right, right. And he has the land.
In the land.
And you're not hearing about numbers spiking in Dayton.
you know,
Columbus numbers are still low. And real talk, unfortunately, a lot of Americans are like, man, if Ohio gets it, it's Ohio.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how, unfortunately, that's how people look at it. But Chappelle, has the necessary steps in place, the necessary protocol to keep people safe and healthy.
The NBA is going to do the same thing. So if Chappelle can do it, why can't they?
But is it- yeah, but Chappelle's in Ohio, not the belly of the beast.
Right. That's the truth.
That's insane. Hey.
It's happening.
Hold up. And then to add insult, they're like, the CEO's like, hey, you know what? Since we're opening up Disney for the NBA, if you want, you could also come to Disneyland.
It's like you bring in infected motherfuckers in there. I just don't. Will we ever have Olympics again? I don't think the Olympics, because that's just people.
Yo, I watch.
Village.
Yeah.
Disease and babies.
Listen, I feel bad right now for cats in the military, because any military situation, especially if you're out in the field, y'all are on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's you know, you're in like a situation where you're out in the field. If you're out in the field, you're on top of each other. If you're, you know, I've been to multiple bases in the Middle East, in Doha and Qatar and Kuwait, and you do have the land, but nobody's spreading out in 115 degree weather.
Yeah.
You're trying to get in the mess hall where they got AC.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's harder to.
And what about on a carrier or a submarine?
Right.
A commander got in trouble because he was like, yo, my men are getting sick. I need to get them off this ship.
Right.
I think he did get court martialed.
Yeah, I think he did. And it's, you know, it's.
And that's the military.
Yeah.
You want to do the same thing with the NBA players, these millionaires? I can't see it happening.
Right. There's a big difference between a PFC, a specialist, a sergeant, and LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. Wait, I got millions of dollars. You going to tell me what I have to do? I don't got to do nothing.
How is that going to work?
Yeah.
I think they should give some of the B-League guys a chance and just say, hey, we all want to play. We're going to pick the team, let them play it out.
Hold up, the B team player is like, hey, y'all wanna come get this NBA check? You run the risk of
they'll be out there.
Run the risk of getting that virus, but at least you get some prime time play.
A dead play. I don't know if the media is doing it too. You see these shows going on. What's the name? Flew out to Arizona, like Dan Soder said he was going to Colorado. I was like, y'all want the canaries in the cave in the mine. It's like, yeah, bro. I'm just waiting to see if y'all die or come down with something. It ain't worth it. The world can go without fucking optional comedies, fucking assholes.
Right. It also is, you know, all of it, to me, is the equivalent of you know, when Apple drops a new iPhone or they drop the new Jordans and everyone's waiting in line. And then it turns out like a week later that everybody that was waiting in line, their phone has glitches. You gotta wait it out, man. You gotta be patient. No, that's what it really comes down to. Nobody wants to exercise some patience again, like you said, specifically in America, because we're all on some, well, this infringes on my freedom. Yeah, but you won't die.
Yeah.
Everyone won't go ahead and no one won't fit in, right? It's like, yo, just wait.
Yeah.
Wait it out. It's not that serious, bro.
So what do you think? Because I see the Premier, like the Premier League, I've been watching every day. Love it.
Okay.
The only sports is back. They got no audience, no crowds in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
But the games, they play, some of the games, they play the fake crowd noise in the back. They got DJs that's playing crowd noise, like looking at the game.
That's funny. they got Jazzy Jeff and D Nice.
That's what they're doing. But it's dope. That's it hilarious. Sounds like it's a crowd there. And then, like, they're still, like, in the background.
Hold on. The dude transforming. Go, Eric, go. Eric, go, Eric.
Do you see like that's what sports will be in America too? It's gonna be no crowds.
That's so big. You know, yeah. Most people couldn't afford the tickets anyway.
Preach.
It's like Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
We watched Hamilton on a friend's Disney.
Oh yeah. I only do it on a friend's point.
We watched Hamilton last week, right. And it's an amazing show, and it's amazing to, you know, you and I understand that Broadway is called the Great White Way.
Yeah.
And to see all of these faces of color,
yeah,
telling a story, a historical story about an immigrant, and what was dope about the show was all the science and jabs that Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote into it, you know, yeah. with how he was addressing immigration, especially yeah. in the culture that we're living in now, right, is brilliant. Yeah. But watching the show,
true. All ring true,
all true, right? What was real talk? My wife and I, we were like, yo, back in the days, if you beefed, you didn't have to go in and shoot each other. Like, here, I'm challenging you to a duel. Can we play chess?
You ever play Connect Four?
Right, something, right?
Who knows?
So watching it, this amazing, inspiring, you know, piece of art, you watch it and you're blown away, and then it hits you like, yo, people that should see that, and again, people of color, you know, young cats, not everybody, all kids, right, should have access to a show like that.
Yeah.
And I understand the economics of Broadway and how they have to sell tickets because they have to earn their money. But you would wish watching that, I actually felt kind of bad because I said, it's a shame that the people that should see this, that would be inspired by a show like this, because then they see it is possible and they have access to a dream of becoming a Broadway playwright. Or a songwriter, or a musician, or an actor, you know, what have you, a dancer, you know, they can see themselves represented,
yeah.
and then that opens their scope, opens their minds.
But I think it's still like definitely Hamilton, because it was such a big success. It got more eyes on it, got more outreach to it. You got little, you know, kids even in the schools who do theater. They're doing yeah. their versions of Hamilton. So
right.
just to read the play and just to see the words, like, oh shit, this is like, yeah. so and then yeah. reenacted. It's like, that's what art does. And even though
exactly.
look at all the art money taken out of it, which we need
right.
more,
not right. less. But did you play any instruments in school?
I played the drums and I played
okay.
the
piano. Okay, I played the trumpet. And I played the trumpet for 6 years. And when you hear these stories about, you know, how the arts are just totally removed, it just seems weird to me, because I remember from kindergarten on, every year you had a big production.
Yeah,
some sort of big production. Your family got the list. I remember we did, I want to say Cinderella when I was in like kindergarten or first grade. And I remember the sheet that said you need a turtleneck that's either gray, white, or black, because we were mice,
right.
and you had to have match. And I think I had a white turtleneck that my mother, she ruined a washing machine downstairs in our apartment building because she dyed my white turtleneck gray downstairs in a public washing machine.
Well, that performance and everything. I performed in so many things in school,
yeah. elementary
high school, from Greece, yeah, man. Oklahoma.
Yeah, man. But that's important because it you know, we of course math and science are important, but the arts have their place as well.
Arts is very important, just like sports. Very. It's like a lot of these schools yeah. are losing money, got to drop the football teams because they just yeah. have the revenue, and definitely after this fucking right. pandemic. And they don't right. know where it's coming from, and everybody's gonna, every state and city gonna be, you know, pulling back their budgets.
Yeah.
I think if they don't have sports, these kids to play, or some type of activities, we're doomed anyway, right?
Well, because they all feed each other. So if there are no sports, you know, we already have an obesity problem as a nation. And so if you don't have sports,
or ever.
Word. What was that? What was that movie where the people were on? It was an animated movie, Wall-E, where the people were just, they were all slovenly and they were
Oh,
on like
yeah.
this a space cruise ship, and they didn't have to
They had to
do
do anything.
anything.
Like the robots and everything did everything for them.
Right. That's what it feels like we're moving towards, you know, because it's easier to just be lazy and just to let someone else. I actually, you know, talking to children, you know, in our house, you know, had a conversation this morning, said, hey, you know what? Just get out the house. We have a backyard. Go sit in the backyard. Get some vitamin D from the sun. Get some exercise. I just finished working out
Is that an
about an
American
hour and a half
thing
ago.
or just a young people thing? Because I see a lot of kids around the globe, these young
Yeah.
kids out here doing their fucking thing. They got fucking athletic camps in
Right.
Norway where they fucking work them all year
Right.
round and they don't keep score. They don't have
I
room.
think it's more. I think I see it more. Obviously, living here, I see it more in America. But traveling a lot, I see more obesity in our states than I see overseas.
Oh,
As
see?
much as I travel, as much as I travel, man, I can always. You know, you
Yeah,
could always tell if I don't care if you're in, if I'm in Qatar or England. We were in Japan last year. I can always spot the Americans
right, because the big
because
man.
you see them big calves and khaki shorts. We always
Yeah.
have, right?
We all got cankles.
Them calves and khaki shorts, man.
Wow.
It's
When I was
unfortunate,
in
you know.
Paris, they always, that's why I never wore white sneakers in Paris, because it's like, that's how you tell America. Americans
Ah,
wear
that's funny. That's
white.
funny. Oh, they would have had me. They'd have known me for sure.
I
That's,
was
you know, that's all you ever see me wear is white sneakers.
They know
He's a
the
beast.
brand, but I'm just seeing, like, even with the NBA, you see all these European players coming over here. They outshine all these a lot of these American players, definitely the white ones.
I think.
White boys in the league come from different countries.
Well, you know what? I just have you seen just a kid from Coney Island,
Oh yes.
Marbury Doc?
Robert, what a great guy.
I love his journey because he seems so much more mature now, you know, and how the doc
China changed them. You think China?
China humbled him, man. And it's funny, China humbled him, but he had so much success. I mean, he got a statue. He got a statue in China, man. And watching it, you know, watching sort of his trajectory, you know, because there was a level of immaturity, but that's, you know, that's any young cat coming into a big opportunity. And what it was most obvious when I think it was 2008 when the during the Olympics when America got bronze for the first time since the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing because
Oh, of course.
you had those European teams
Yeah.
that these
Even like
cats been playing
Argentina,
together for
like that.
years. Yeah, they've been playing together for years and they had their fundamentals and it was about the team unit versus the I versus the individual. They spanked us. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch. It was embarrassing. I
That was
remember that.
crazy.
The
Because
nightmare
these
team.
teams just seem hungrier. They seem like they play basketball during the day like we used to do. Like they got Rutgers over there now.
Right, right,
You
right.
don't
They
see
follow
any
they
comparison.
follow everything we did 10, 15, 20 years ago, they're now doing. And so the hunger that we had, and that's with everything, really, you
With
know.
manufacturing jobs, it's everything we used to do like a motherfucker. We like this, we did it. That was another generation. Now they push it off overseas so other people can do it for cheaper. And that's with basketball. Having basketball.
Well, because basketball was really a cheap man's sport in comparison to most other sports. You know, baseball, you had to eventually get a glove and a bat
Right.
and a ball.
And you
You
also need
know,
more space to play because you need a bigger
you needed
field.
the space. You
So
know,
that's
you
crazy.
needed the field. Right. Basketball, if you know, cats will set up a stick with a crate and cut the crate out in the middle, and you have a basketball court. You
That's
know,
why
it's like swimming.
I like seeing all these new, not really new because they've been around the league, the NHL for maybe a decade or so, or even more. these black NHL players, well, most of them, I talked about it on an episode earlier in Small Ball, mm-hmm. that most of the NHL black players, they come from the Caribbean. Because their parents moved to Canada when Trudeau, the father Trudeau, opened up the gates for all the immigrants in the 70s. Now these kids, they playing ice hockey their whole lives. That's just in high school. So now you got all these fucking superstars that's just a generation in to Canada because their parents moved there for that migration. Right. How great is that?
Right. That's it's called progress.
That's progress like a motherfucker.
Progress.
Like, Joe is responsible for all that shit.
Hey, that's something. You know, and wasn't aware that, but that's the, isn't that just the trickle down? It's always the trickle down, you know, where you don't realize how it's affecting. Like we were saying with the arts, you know, with the arts, if children that normally didn't have access to it have access, suddenly the possibilities become endless for them and their scope gets wider, whereas previously they were sort of myopic, but now they're like, oh, wait, like, look, like how my face is shaded, but you do this and the sunshine comes in. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow. You know, that's I didn't know it was daytime.
I used to do the Police Athletic League in New York.
Pal, I remember Pal.
That's it. They still have them, but it's like they're so underfunded, it's not even funny. Like, the comedy still I produce, I try to raise money to send to Pal, so we can keep those programs going in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's dope.
But if you look around, like Google, you see PALs, it's PAL all around the country. Every police station, every police force pretty much is not functioning, but they used to have it, or they still have it, and it's holding on for dear life. But I was like, that was access to like cops and the community being one, getting to know each other away from this law and order, but just knowing, hey, we're neighbors and we love things. And I mean, they used to be the coaches of our basketball team, the cops, 81st Precinct. We used to have and the shoot arounds and baseball teams. But we need that in our community now more than ever.
Yeah, and it's funny now that you said it, because I do remember when I lived in Mount Vernon that PAL was big, especially during the summer. You know, you had the Police Athletic League. During the summer, they'd have like at the Y, they would have at the YMCA, PAL would sponsor something that the kids could come and just not be out in the streets. You know, you could play basketball or dodgeball or you know, indoor. You could go to the pool and swim. You know, you had that access. Even if you didn't have a membership to the Y, you still had access to it.
Even like Cromwell, we used to go to Cromwell Gym in Staten Island, take the ferry, because they had the biggest, like, fucking, that's the biggest building with, like, 15 full courts in it. Like, 15. Right. Like, PAL used to put on fucking tournaments and give us free shorts and give us sneakers.
Right.
And it was a thing. It was like a New York thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we knew the cops. Like, we would see the cops. Be like, I'm still practicing, coach. We would
Right. Different time. I do agree. And maximize sort of community and police relationships.
Yeah, and I think
because also the cops weren't looking at because the cops knew these kids. The cops knew the kids, and so they weren't afraid.
Right.
You know, and might possibly live in the communities because they were coaching the kids. You know,
it's as simple as that. And even with PAL, we had different things that was connected to PAL. It wasn't all athletics. Some things was like theater productions. Some things was going to camp. It was like the whole, they had a computer lab. That wasn't sports, but that was part of the thing.
Right.
I just think now we need that shit more than ever. Even like with comedy, like I wanted to do like bring young kids in and just have them try comedy. It's like a kid.
I like how they do that on Tiffany. She did my podcast on Monday night a couple weeks ago. I do this thing on Instagram Live. We had like Tiffany. We had Chris Spencer, Jim Gaffigan last week, and the Father Monkey Protocol every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. IG Live at I Am Dean Edwards. And Tiffany said she actually started comedy because she was doing the comedy camps at the Laugh Factory.
There you go.
The Laugh Factory, Jamie Masada, every summer. He would bring in, you know, children from the community and give them access and have not only access to the stage, but access to, you know, legends of comedy that they've seen on television, but they never might have known their names or they, you know, never think coming from South Central that they would come in and meet, you know, Damon Wayans or what have you.
Yeah.
And that right there could change the trajectory. In Tiffany's case, change her perspective and open her mind up and change her life. And now, you know, now the rest is history. You know, I thought if and when you do that, let me know and I'm in, because I think that's a beautiful thing. You always got to give back to the kids.
Man. Gotta build a community. Like, just sports bring people together. Just like comedy, just like the arts. So if you can get that going between people, you'd be surprised how many bridges you can fucking fit cats with.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, think about think about, you know, there are people you may never have anything in common with or have a conversation with, but if you both are diehard Knicks fans, even during, even now, you know, that right there has unified you and brought you together, whereas you normally wouldn't. You know, if you're out in the street, if I'm wearing a Knicks jersey and you cut me off in traffic, and then I get out of my car and then you get out, you got a Knicks jersey going, you're like, all right, man, I understand your frustration. It's all good, man. That's what we and then you end with we going this season. We might have maybe not this season, but next season. You know. So sports.
That's why
I
was so scared that sports is gone during this pandemic, because it's really the glue that holds us together. By the way.
Yeah. Shoot, people watching NBA 2K live. People watching NBA 2K to like on ESPN.
You're better in Vegas. They got games you can bet on.
That's wild to me. But, you know, people need something to bring them together, so be it.
And this shit happened right at the beginning of March Madness. Like, we didn't even get a
I know. Madness. Dude, we didn't have, with one shining moment. I look forward to that every year, Sherrod. Till I was 16 years old. I've been through every version, the Luther Vandross version. We didn't get that. I had to go on YouTube to find it at the end of March just to put that, just to feel.
Just to feel that feeling. The one shining moment. Now, Dean, at the end of the show, we usually do a segment that's called Cutting Down the Nets. It's like anything, you know, when you cut down the nets when you win a championship, right?
Of course. It's that one shining moment.
Like, that you would cut the nets down to. It can be sports related or not, but just a great moment in your life that you want to cut down the nets to.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, you know what? One time in my life or career, I wanted to cut the nets down, man, is when I taped Showtime at the Apollo. Actually, both times, because they were both championship performances, because the first time I had to follow Steve Harvey's hosting, and I had to follow Method Man, Redman, DMX, and LL doing 4-3-2-1. Everybody else backstage is nervous, and I'm back. I'm like, yo, give me the mic, son, because I was ready. Because my first bit was the B.I.G. It was a Biggie impression. So I was like, I'm going to just ride that wave. And then the second time I did the Apollo, I always said, after doing it the first time, because it went so well, I said, the only way I'll do Showtime at the Apollo again is if I know I can get a standing ovation. Right.
Right.
And so in like 2004 or so, the material I had, and this is when like I really found doing the Denzel Washington, and I had this whole Bad Boys 3 Denzel, Chris Rock, 50 Cent, Jay-Z impression run.
Right.
And I said, you know, if I set this up right, I think I can get a stand ovation. So I went there saying I need to get a standing ovation. Right. Did the joint. Monique was like, you know what, Dean, that was funny. And look out, the audience stood up, and I was like, I never need to go back to the Apollo unless I'm headlining. So that was another cut the Nets moment.
Cut the Nets down, baby.
Right.
Now, where can people find you, Dean? Like, where can they find you?
My social media is at IAM Dean Edwards. I am Dean Edwards because that's who I am. And like I said, we every Monday, We've been doing this now. I think we're probably like 3 months deep. We've had everyone from Godfrey was our first, and then Rob Stapleton, Jim Gaffigan, Tiffany Haddish, Chris Spencer.
I made that damn show, you son of a bitch.
Here's what's funny. Wow. I, it, I did not forget you. I've been, because you know when you're building it up, you're like, let me get everybody that has, you know, quarter million and better. Oh, I had Russell, Russell Peters. I had Tony, Tony Rock. Next week I have Marina because I want to make sure I have a lot of women in there as well. And then the following week, Finesse. And I'm doing like, I'm doing an SNL block where I have Finesse. I have Marina Franklin on the 20th, Finesse Mitchell on the 27th of July, and then okay. Jay Farrell August 3rd. And I have a couple.
You had a run-in too with the cops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. So I want to talk to Jay. I spoke to him, and he's cool now. But when I saw the video, I was like, damn, man. I think, you know, just reach out to your mans and make sure he's good. He sounds like he's doing all right now.
I was like, is it anyone he can't impersonate? I mean, God, that was a quick George Floyd. And he was quick with that George Floyd impersonation. He's the best.
Yeah, man. That was funny.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you're on the show. Yeah, and when can people check? You said the podcast. Where can you check it out?
Every Monday night on Instagram, 11 p.m. We usually get JB Smooth. We went for 3 hours, son. And, really? And we went from 11 to 2 a.m. Well, because you know what's funny? I realized, and Gavigan pointed out last week, he was like, hey, man, thanks for it. I said, no, I said, you don't realize. We do it for the fans to give them feedback and you know, their questions. People always wanted to understand behind the scenes of what we do. But I said, for me, it's also become just an outlet. Like, doing this with you right now is an outlet because I missed you. I miss my brother. I ain't seen you in person in 4 months, you know?
Right.
And prior to this, I think this is the longest in the history of me doing this that I've not been on stage, you know?
Easily. In 20 years, it's the longest. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So with that said, doing the Monday Night Live is just great because it reminds me of when we're just sitting in the back of the Comedy Cellar, sitting in the back of the Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, and just kicking it, just you know, shooting a gift and talking shop.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, the Fuller Mucker Protocol every Monday night, IG Live. Yes, I am D. Nevers. Yes, sir.
Ah, D.D., I love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
I love you too, bro. Of course. Yes, of course.